Please stand and join me for the call to worship. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord the Most High is awesome, a great king over all the earth. He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. Let us pray together. Eternal God, by raising Jesus from the grave, you proclaimed his victory over the powers of death. By his ascension, you have declared him the Lord of life. Through worship, lift our hearts to heaven, where Jesus reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May be seated. In Jesus Christ, we have a great high priest for us who intercedes with prayers before the throne of God. So confident in God's forgiveness and the Lord who was born and died and rose and ascended for us, who prays for us before God's throne, let us confess our sins together. First in silence. And together we pray. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from death to life and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the ways of the world and failed to give him glory. Forgive us and raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people, obeying the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, who rules the world and is head of the church, his body. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Seated. As we prepare to hear the word of God for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, your word silences the shouts of the world. Quiet within us any voice but your own, that hearing good news we may believe the gospel and obey in Jesus Christ. Amen.
The world in every corner sing, my God and King. The heavens are not too high, his praise may thither fly. Earth is not too low, his praises there may grow. Let all the world in every corner sing, my God and King. Let all the world in every corner sing, my God and King. The church with psalms must shout, no door can keep them out. But above all, the heart must bear the longest part. Let all the world in every corner sing, my God and King, my God and King. Let all the world in every corner sing, my God and King. Mm-hmm.
Our scripture reading this evening comes from the end of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Following the resurrection, following that first Easter, Jesus visits with his disciples. Here we see them on the road, and as he teaches them, as he blesses them, he withdraws. It's a mysterious ending to the gospel, but one that anticipates the continued work of God in the lives of those who follow Jesus Christ. So expecting that God will continue to speak to us tonight, listen for God's word to you. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I heard a story once upon a time of a pastor who was invited to provide the invocation at a town council meeting. And because she was already going to be in front of the room, they said, "Well, after the prayer is over, why don't you just lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?" And she said, "Okay, I'm happy to help." And she finished the prayer, said her amen. She stood up and put her hand over her heart and looked at the flag and realized that she hadn't said the Pledge of Allegiance since she was an elementary student, and she didn't remember how it began. And so, racking her brains, running through her memory, she stood there and came up with the first thing she could possibly remember, which was, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven." You knew I had to get there. "And sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead." We'll stop there for now. We'll leave out the Holy Spirit until Pentecost, although we'll read through it in a minute. It's rote memorization at this point. You may not pay much attention to the lines or the content anymore when you say it so much as the cadence. You know what's coming next. And so for the pastor I mentioned, it was the first thing that popped into her head because it was there so often as she led the people in worship. And for what it's worth in the story, the rest of the crowd joins in too. So that creed is the classical formulation of Christian faith. Its ancestor was an ancient baptismal creed. It was the first confession of faith people announced as they entered the church through the waters of baptism. But the history of the creed is so long, it dates before it was even written down, and has probably gone through at least a couple of iterations. So a legend that's repeated in our Book of Confessions claims that each phrase was provided by one of the apostles who shared a line of the creed. And so line after line, they put the thing together. And so you can imagine the apostle Peter standing up. He's always going to talk first. He says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And then James would stand up and add, "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." And then it was Andrew who said, "Who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary," and so on like that. And you wonder in the legend who got what line. Because by the time you get to the lesser known aspects of Jesus' life, he descended into hell, he ascended into heaven, maybe it was the quiet backbenchers who didn't get to say much in the gospel who finally said their piece. Maybe it wasn't till they got to Bartholomew or Simon or Thaddeus that it was remembered that Jesus ascended. That's probably where we would put it on our order of priority too. We don't think much about the ascension. But if you were one of those first disciples, one of those first apostles, I'm willing to guess you remembered the ascension. So that's what this day is about, and this text too. In the Gospel of Luke, at the end of his earthly ministry, the risen Jesus ascends into heaven. And it's an important enough story to Luke that as the writer of the gospel, he repeats a similar story to begin Acts in the sequel. The ascension is the bridge between God's completed work in Jesus Christ and our continuing participation in that work as the people God has called. The ascension brings the two together. So the story tonight begins with the mundane work of Jesus' ministry. He continues to teach and instruct his disciples. He opens their minds to understand the scriptures, how he fulfilled them all, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. An astute reader will wonder about that last bit, usually not mentioned alongside the law and the prophets. But it's in the Psalms that we catch a glimpse of the exaltation of God's anointed, which we see in the ascension. The Psalms declare the reign of God. The Lord is king. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Or the Psalms imagine God's ascent into the heavens. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song to him who rides upon the cloud. His name is the Lord. Be exultant before him. Or even what we read to begin worship tonight, God has gone up with a shout of the Lord, with the sound of a trumpet, to sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. Jesus teaches from the scriptures. They speak of the wonder and the love of God, which is poured out in his life and his suffering. And in the Psalms, in his ascent, in his glorification, how we join in worship. So Jesus is preparing his disciples because he's going to leave them. He will ascend into heaven and reign over them as the Lord of creation, as God's anointed. So we'll get back to that for now. It suffices to say that Jesus instructs his disciples. He gives them a job description of what they're to do next. Go to Jerusalem and wait for the coming of God's Spirit to witness to all that you've seen and the concrete reality of the place where God has called you and in the continuing story of God's life which will appear in your own. When Jesus is finished speaking with the disciples, they go out as far as Bethany, not really any concrete destination, but seemingly on the way to somewhere. And Jesus raises his hands, he blesses his disciples, and as he's blessing them, he withdraws into heaven. It's hard to imagine a concrete picture there. Karl Barth said it was a shame that so many Christian artists tried to depict the scene. In trying to find a picture for the bulletin cover tonight, I concur. The results are almost comical as Jesus, constrained by the reality of a canvas, seems to unnaturally hover above the scene. The disciples look up wondering what he's doing up there. And maybe it's the problem of depiction that makes us uncomfortable with anything having to do with this day and its abstruse theological doctrine of the ascension. It seems a bit antique and staid, not to mention implausible. So over 100 years ago, modernists and fundamentalists went to ecclesiastical war over the idea of a literal resurrection, and we, their grandchildren and great-grandchildren, have been fighting rearguard actions in that war ever since. But the reason they fought over the resurrection was because no one even thought the ascension was worth fighting over. So before the 20th century and the 19th, Friedrich Schleiermacher, the greatest Reformed theologian of that era, decided that the ascension didn't add much to the faith. It was mainly a bludgeon used between Reformed and Lutheran Christians arguing about Jesus' presence in the communion. And so if that's what ascension is for us, we can understand why it's easy to ignore it. The supernaturalism, the Kant art, all speak to something that beckons beyond belief. And if we are uncomfortable with anything, it's the thought that we might be asked to believe or do anything embarrassing on the terms the world has set for us as a church. The ascension points to Jesus as belonging now to the eternal reign of God, though, and not to the world that crucified him. And so in some meaningful way, the ascension reminds us of the order of the way things really are. The earth is God's footstool, and Jesus reigns. That God is absent yet promises to be present in a new way by the power of his Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Jesus, in the church, his body. So the writer Paul Kingsnorth makes the point that Western culture teaches us to be critical, and especially critical of anything that smacks of supernaturalism or metaphysical belief. He says, "But while I learned this early, it was much later that I learned something else, dimly and slowly through my study of history, mythology, and, well, people, that every culture, whether it knows it or not, is built around a sacred order. And it does not, of course, need to be a Christian order. It could be Islamic or Hindu or Taoist. It could be based on the veneration of ancestors or the worship of Odin. But there is a throne at the heart of every culture, and whoever sits on it will be the force you take instruction from." There's that connection Jesus teaches the disciples. And he ascends. There is a throne waiting for him. And the question with it, who sits on that throne for you? So Jesus calls on his disciples to go to Jerusalem to wait for his Spirit, to clothe them with power from on high. And it's because Jesus has ascended that he has the power to ask them to do that, knowing full well that God will continue to be present through his scattered and often hapless disciples. And so the ascension, even as it acknowledges the unique glorification of Jesus, has a corresponding effect on us. Since Jesus is missing, we're to go to our places of worship to listen and to wait on the coming of God's Spirit, who will continue Jesus' work through us. Jesus blesses the disciples and then he leaves them, which has a double meaning. On the one hand, Jesus commends them to the grace and mercy of God. He's not going to be with them any longer. But on the other hand, he commends them to work yet to be done, which is the other side of blessing. God blesses the earth, be fruitful, multiply. Abraham is blessed to be a blessing. David blessed to be a king. Jesus blessed and called a beloved son. The disciples are blessed. So we don't know what Jesus says as he withdraws from the disciples' presence, because maybe enough has been said already. And if the story isn't about Jesus, but our response to a God who reigns, maybe we can see the effect of the ascension on the work of his disciples. How do they respond? Well, they do what Jesus asked them to do. They go to Jerusalem, but now with great joy. They wait on the Spirit of God, but this is what their waiting looks like. They go to the temple, and they worship, and they bless God. So it's the same word that's used for Jesus. Jesus blesses the disciples as he ascends. His disciples return to the temple, to the place where they're closest to God, and they bless God in return. It's not that God is gone, but that God is present in a new way, in our worship. And so we understand that the ultimate worthiness of what we do as people, as a church, in our worship, it's not determined by its utility or its validation by the world, but only in the presence of the ascended Jesus who reigns above all things. Our worship confesses our connection to a God who in Jesus Christ has died, has risen, ascended, and reigns over creation. And so we gather here to bless God for just those things. So it sounds pretty abstract, and it is. The ascension cannot be depicted. But maybe after a year of waiting and suffering, whether your life has been put on pause or overturned by grief, whether you are waiting for something better or doubtful if it will ever be better again, whether you are worried about the state of the country or the world, or you have just stopped paying attention because what else can you do? Know that your Lord reigns and leaves you with a story and a promise. Wait where you are. Trust that God's Spirit will find you so that you can witness too that the wounds of this world can be and will be healed in the presence of the risen and ascended Jesus. And if you're looking for somewhere to wait, you could do worse than the disciples who went to the temple to worship. Because in light of what they had seen, how could they do anything else? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended in heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us offer our prayers to the throne of God. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we pour our thanks before your throne of grace, trusting in the rule of Jesus Christ, our risen and ascended Lord. By your power and might, we pray that you would rule in your creation as you rule in our hearts, mending our brokenness, healing our sickness, restoring our peace, enlivening our joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Most High God, we are witnesses to the life of Jesus Christ our Lord, written in the law, promised in the prophets, sung by the psalmists, given in love for the world, risen from the dust of death, lifted up in heavenly glory. Let our lives proclaim Christ's life. Let our church live in faithful witness as we bear your Spirit to the world you have made and love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Draw us into your presence to worship you always in spirit and in truth, blessing your name forever, even as we anticipate reunion with you in our worship that is just a pale shadow of the life that is to come in Jesus our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of Jesus Christ, who continually prays before you at your right hand and who teaches his disciples to pray by the power of his Spirit, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship God with our gifts. Let us pray. Holy God, we praise you for all that you have given to us in the beauty of your creation, in the presence of your Spirit, and especially in the life and love of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Be with us in what we return to you this night through our work, through our lives, that we might be Christ's faithful disciples, following in his way, following in his kingdom, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Jesus is risen. Jesus is ascended. Jesus reigns over all creation. So wherever you go from here, no matter what you face, trust that you face it in the kingdom of the one who has conquered, always in the presence and power of his Spirit. So go trusting in him, and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.